In this discipleship, I wanted it to shift our minds. Discipleship is not a new word. It's very common to us in the church, and we understand it has to do with being followers of Jesus. But so often, these definitions have gotten switched around in people's minds, and in our culture that we live in, things that may seem to be obvious are not always obvious, and it's really not always the fault of the person's misunderstanding. It's been that the church has too often muddied the waters when it comes to what being a disciple of Jesus really is, and being what a Christian is, and so we have so many times created definitions and created understandings that were unbiblical. And what we're seeking to do during these days is to make sure that we understand who we are, but what we're really to be and what we're really to become and what we're really to be focused on as a church and as individuals. And we go to Acts 20:20, which is really the basis of what I believe God is wanting to do within the life of our church. And what we notice in Acts 20:20 is that there's an emphasis upon the public worship and the public propagation of the gospel. If you can put up Acts 20:20, if you would, because I may not quote it exactly right. But it's proclaiming the gospel publicly and from house to house. And so that's this 2020 vision that we're emphasizing during these days. And we will see it unfold more and more in the coming weeks and months, is that not only these gatherings are important, but we believe there's a small group aspect, a small gathering aspect that may be from house to house or from this location to that location, where we gather in smaller groups that we will be able to grow and fellowship and converse about these things and grow spiritually and have more accountability with other believers. Because I want to tell you, this is so important. This is the greatest thing in life, is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and therefore we need to treat it more valuable than anything else in our lives. This is what it's about. Galatians 4:19 that we've discussed from week to week, where the Apostle Paul said to the Galatian church that he was travailing in birth pains and until Christ was formed in each one of them. We want to see Christ formation in the lives of all of us. And that's not just, it's not a one-way street. You're wanting to see your pastors grow spiritually. I pray that we would grow spiritually, that we are increasing not just in our knowledge of God's Word, that's important, but we're increasing in the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God in our life, that all of us together would continue to see Christ being formed in greater measures than ever before, that His character will be greater in us than ever before. That's what we want. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, I want to read that this morning. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And there it lies the really definition that we have for discipleship. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This morning, I want to deal with the subject of follow. Follow. Social media has really redefined this word in our culture. Twitter, Instagram has followers. And so there's a lot of people that's where they hear this word more than anything else. Are you following, or who is following a certain story, a certain post, a certain person? Follow. The same in the Facebook, which it's called friends, but it's about following friends, following their posts. That's social media. And so it's redefined this language for us. But I think what has happened in our culture is something similar to what happens in social media, and it is this: that when we follow someone, what we're really doing on social media is occasionally looking at them. We occasionally see their storyline. We occasionally view their post. We occasionally see the video that's out there. We occasionally see a picture. We occasionally see, and I'm afraid that's exactly what has happened in terms of people's relationship to Jesus Christ. They occasionally follow Jesus. They occasionally keep up with Him. They occasionally dig into the Word. Occasionally worship. Occasionally. And you see, we understand that that's not what following in the Scripture of Matthew 4:19 is all about. It's not an occasional thing. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So just redefining what discipleship is again, it is following Jesus. Disciples follow Jesus. Disciples of Christ are changed. He said, "I will make you." This is what we talked about last week. "I will make you. I will make you. I will transform you. I'm going to do something in your life that will bring about change." So disciples of Jesus are changed and being changed by Jesus. So we follow Jesus. We're being changed and have been changed and are being changed by Jesus. He is making something out of us. And then we have being fishers of men, he said, that I will make you fishers of men. And so it's that commitment to the mission of Jesus to reach other people. That's what happened. Andrew was called by Jesus, and Andrew went and got, verse 18 of chapter 4 of Matthew, he went and got his brother, and he shared what had happened to him and told him about Jesus. And that's how following the Lord initially happens. And so I want us to grab hold of that and that definition today. But there's something we've got to consider when we're talking about this. Certainly it's not occasional, but there's a commitment involved when you follow. It's something that has to be done intentionally. You don't just, have you ever was going to follow somebody to a destination? How many of you ever said, you take the lead and I'll follow you? Maybe it was to the lake. Maybe it was to a place where you hadn't been before. And if it's a long trip, it's almost tormenting at times. Right? Because of the speed. You know, and you think the person in front of you is just like a maniac. Because You get stopped in traffic somewhere, and then you lose track of them. Then you have to speed to catch back up with them, and it's just this tormenting thing. But one thing that we learn from our following car to car, we learn that it's intentional. You've got to intentionally to keep up. And you've got to intentionally make turns. You've got to intentionally stay focused on the car in front of you. Sherry is a terrible person to follow. Where's she at? Terrible. She don't even look in the rearview mirror. She don't look in a side mirror. She just goes, and you're going. Won't answer her phone. Come on. Go on. And she's been driving sometimes, and people follow and say, Sherry, you've lost them. They're not in the rearview mirror. They're nowhere to be seen. Said all that to say this is intentional. Following is intentional. And so Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I will transform you. I'll make you fishers of men. Be committed to the mission. So it's intentional. This idea of following that Jesus speaks of in Jesus' day was very common. In fact, the Greek philosophers had disciples. The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, had disciples. And so the terminology Jesus was using was not foreign to the men that he was talking to. He said, follow me. They knew that language. They knew of the philosophers that had followers. They knew of the rabbis that had followers. And now Jesus is saying, follow me. But this word, this two words that we have, follow me, in the Greek really is one word. It's really one word. But what that word means in the Greek is, because it's not important that we understand, that we pronounce the Greek word. What's important is we understand our English terminology. And so when it says, follow me, it really represents this meaning. That we unite on one road. That we're united together on one road. So there's a joining ourselves to the one whom we are a follower, to the one in whom we are a disciple of. We're joining on one road. We're uniting together, not at a distance, but uniting together, and we're walking on one road. That really makes sense when we think about what Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He was saying, come yoke yourself with me. Get in step with me on the same road, on the same pathway. I want you to go with me. Follow me. And how incredible that is. And so we, God wants us to follow the Lord Jesus fully. We're to follow fully. We are to unite with Him on one road. We're not to be scattered about. We're not to be to just be everywhere, all over the map, and running in the ditches and wherever we want to. But no, we're to stay near to Him. We're to follow Him. And so that's a beautiful analogy for us to remember. And you see, following the Lord and following fully the Lord is more than head knowledge. It's more than head knowledge. It's more than just knowing the instructions. If we had an AED machine right up here on the stage, and there was someone who was having cardiac problems and was going into cardiac arrest, and we brought the defibrillator in, we have one on the grounds, and we brought that in, and we had someone who understands that and is trained to use that, and they were there, you're laying there in in desperate condition, and they're standing over you with the AED machine, and they start telling you about the make and model. They start telling you about what this thing will do, how it operates. They go into much detail about this machine that is amazing, and how many lives that this machine has changed, how many lives it has saved. And you're lying there, and you're thinking, when is he going to use it? You see, that's what we have to be. This is a reality, and this is of our illustration. You and I, when it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, we've got to understand it's more than us just coming to a knowledge. There's got to be more than just the knowledge of this, of the fact that we need to follow Him. But it's actually doing it. It's actually walking the same road as He. It's actually applying the Scriptures and following Him. It's actually living a life where other people could follow us, and I'll get there in just a moment. It's actual application. It's not just having these great ideas, and true they are, and we can't know, if we don't know these things, we can't properly follow the Lord, but it's got to be more than that. It's an application of His Word. There's a more modern day parable that's similar to this, and I won't go all detail and tell every part of the parable, but just hit the highlight of the fact that we have this man who was incredible at being a fisher of men, so much so that the church council asked that he talk to the other people in the church about how to be a fisher of men, because he was so good at it. And so they got him to speak to the men's ministry about being a fisher of men. And he was amazing. It was amazing how he would share the strategy and how you do it, and the plan for this fishing for men. And then it was so wonderful that people had him to, he started going to other churches, he started going to other places and sharing about how incredible it was. You see, he was a theologian of evangelism. But what happened, he got to sharing how to be a fisher of men so much that he quit fishing for men. And all of a sudden, he was just preparing himself for more talks on being fisher of men. So therefore, he was an expert at being a fisher of men. He was an expert at fishology, but never went fishing again. You see, there's the danger. That's the danger for my life. That's the danger in all of us, that we know something so well and can tell people about what Jesus would have us to do, what He would want us to become, but yet never attain to that. I personally feel like that if we come to the end of our days and we've never become a fisher of men, we've never become a men catcher, what kind of testimony do we really have? You see, because this is true discipleship. This is true discipleship. It is following Him and being transformed and changed by Him, and to become more like Him, to therefore reach other people and set forth an example for those that have come to believe in Him, and then to make a difference in this world, to genuinely make disciples according to Matthew 28 and Mark 16, to genuinely be a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, we need to follow fully. We need to follow fully. So what's hindering us from following? What hinders us from being a follower? I think that there are many hindrances of that. One of the incredible things that the Scriptures teach, and I love this, is that Jesus said, believe and be baptized. I think baptism speaks so much louder than we a lot of times want to give it credit. Jesus said, believe and be baptized. Notice that the believing come first, and then being baptized. So salvation is not in the baptism, I'll make that clear to you. Because a person got baptized does not mean that they are a born-again believer. But it should be that if we're baptized, that we have already believed in Him. But when we think about being baptized, we think about coming to Christ, we think about coming to follow the Lord. What He desires that we do when we come into fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and He changes us and we begin to take on a continual change into Christ's likeness. But part of that, He wants us to be baptized. Now, this baptism is the way Jesus was baptized and set forth the example for us in the Scriptures. The very word baptismo means to dip under. And that's why we baptize by immersion, because the word, biblical word, means to dip under. Now, I want to tell you, I've baptized people different ways than that, because I hadn't always had a dip under place. Or it was difficult to dip under because of maybe a person's handicap or particular health situation. I have baptized people in recliners in their home, where we put towels, packed towels all around them, and we poured water over their head while they sit in the chair. Some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen is like that right there. I haven't done it, but I've known people that got baptized in bathtubs because of physical situations at home. We have, Ty's not in this service, but Ty comes at 11 o'clock. Ty's in a wheelchair. He has no function in his lower part of it, in his legs. But I remember one Sunday night, we got us a big tarp right out here on the stage, and we took Ty, and Pastor Jody leaned him back in that wheelchair and held him up, and we took a big pitcher of water and poured over his head. It was beautiful. But the point being this, our normal function of baptism is by immersion. But greater than that is the symbolism of what it means. That this baptism is a marker in our life. Baptism is to be a marker where we have broke from the world. That we have come to faith in Jesus Christ and have put ourselves into His hands to change, that we would be changed and transformed, and we are advertising, we're getting baptized, we're getting advertised to the world that there has been a defining moment where we are breaking from our past. We're breaking from a life of sin. We are now walking in newness of life. And what I want to say to you in regards to following and baptism today is that if you have not been baptized before, that this is what we need to do. Now, let me say this. It could be that you were baptized as a child. You could be that you were baptized we were near, you were young, but really you may not have known the Lord in the sense that you understand Him and you came to understand Him and make things right with Him. For some, they were baptized as a kid, as they accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and there's no need for baptism again. What I'm saying is there are some folks that have been baptized that it was different circumstances. It might have been through there was a bunch of people being baptized, so they got baptized. Their friends were being baptized, or there was a coercion by the parents to be baptized, but yet they didn't fully understand or believe. My point being is, at the point when we really are genuinely become a follower of Jesus through being born again and saved, we need to be baptized. So I don't know who I'm talking to today, but for some of us, there might have been a gap since the day we got saved. It might have, for some, you might have got saved a year after you got saved. I was one of those that it was some time after I got saved before I got baptized. But in Acts chapter 8, we see the Ethiopian eunuch getting saved and the scriptures being explained to him. And the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Bible is setting this as an example for us as well. The Ethiopian eunuch sought out water immediately. He wanted to say, hey, why not now? And so the chariot pulled to the side of the road when a body of water was seen, and immediately the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. What I want to say to us is this. Baptism is not some relic, not some tradition of men. Baptism is an act of obedience that God would have all of us when we come to a relationship with Him, that we all are baptized. And so wherever you are, I've known people to get baptized in this church who have been saved 20 years. And then they came to a realization that they needed to be baptized. And so what I want us to do, I want us to really think about that. Because number one, I want us to be fully, fully doing what the Scripture says. I want us to fully, if the Bible says be baptized, and you're a believer in here today, and you need to be baptized, I want you to be baptized. I don't want there to be anybody, because I just want you to be fully, just in every way, obedient to the Lord. But when I say baptism is a break with the world, it's a break with sin, I sometimes recognize people who are professing believers may be holding on to things of sin in their life. And one of the things that could be happening for somebody is some rebelliousness toward the Lord, and therefore they make excuses for not being baptized. You see, it should mark a break from a lifestyle of sin. That doesn't mean that you will be perfect in the sense that you never will make a mistake or ever have the possibility of sinning again. We don't believe that. Because the Bible teaches us if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Our advocate will be faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we understand that. We understand His forgiveness. But there does need to be a break from practicing sin. Practicing, according to John and 1 John, he talks about not practicing sin, not a lifestyle of sin. We have to break that. We have to break that in our life. And so what I want us to understand today, that this is a relationship with Jesus. We got to have this disciple shift within our hearts and mind, that it's not casual, it's not just head knowledge. It's a breaking from with the past. It's a genuine change that takes place. This whole idea of following the Lord is not on my terms, but it's being on the same road with Jesus. It's walking in His pathway. It's hungering after Him to stay near to Him. And I want to tell you, He won't leave you in the dust like Sherry will. He will lead you. That's the key. He will lead you as a compassionate Savior. But you've got to want to be near to Him. You've got to want to be near to Him, within arm's reach, within prayer's reach, within reach of Him. And we're doing that through obedience to His Word and saying, Lord, I want everything You have for me. And if I sin as I pursue the Lord, He'll be faithful and just to forgive me. I won't have to. You ain't got to sit there and worry about that. He'll do that. But He knows if our heart is bent toward Him. I read about a little house hut that was bought in Haiti for $5,000. Man had saved up his money and had bought this house, but all of a sudden everything about his life crumbled around him and he had no more income at all. And so he decided, I need to sell my house. So he was able to sell it for the same amount that he paid for it, $5,000, but he said to the man he sold the house to, because he hated it, he was grieved that he had to sell his house. He said, I'll sell you all of my house except for one nail that I want to keep on the front of the house. One nail sticking out on the front of the wood frame structure. The man said, no problem. $5,000. The man moves out. The new owner moves in. Sometime later, this man comes back, his situation has changed, and he wants to buy that house back for that same $5,000. The new owner said, no, this is my house. Because this man's financial situation had really changed, he offered him twice the amount. He offered him $10,000 to buy that $5,000 house back. He said no. Now this is, you listen to this. It's a different culture, different place. This don't make sense to us. That man, so upset by the fact that that man wouldn't sell him his house back, he remembered that nail that he did own. He went into town and he saw a dead dog by the side of the road. He took that dead dog and hung it by its collar on the nail of that man's house. And it just hung there. Hung there. Now that may sound crazy to us, but I'm just telling you, there's different cultures, there's different things that go on in the world. I don't understand all of that. He hung there. The stench of that dog became so great that the man eventually agreed to sell the man the house back. Now, we sit there and go, just pull that nail out and fight that one in court, brother, buddy. I mean, no, but listen, that dog hung there. The stench was unreal. So he got it back. This is what I want to say. We're called to follow the Lord and follow Him fully. But what stops us from following him fully many times is because we want to sell out everything to Jesus, but we want to basically give the devil one nail. Our houses, we've got a new home, brand new home, but we left one nail, and the enemy continually wears us out over one nail, and the stench that it brings to our life is breathtaking, and it's continually limiting our walk with the Lord and how what God can do in our life because of that one nail. You see, when we accept Jesus, we can't bargain with the devil and with God and say, I want to keep one nail. Because that one nail is going to end up bringing a terrible impact in our life. What is the one thing that's keeping you from following the Lord? What is it? What is it? Are there questions that you have? You say, well, if I just had more questions asked, then I'd follow the Lord. Listen, He can handle our questions. God can handle our questions. I'll try to answer your question. God can handle the questions. So don't let that stop you. Ask the questions. But I will tell you this. Why does every question have to be answered before you commit? If you're a married man or woman today, you didn't have all your questions answered when you married that man or woman. Did you? You mean you had it all figured out? No. But you trusted that woman that you married, that man you married. How much more? I want to tell you, can you trust Jesus? Can you trust God? You can commit without having all of the questions answered. I don't have all of them answered to this day. But I've come to the place where the ones that I don't have answered don't matter to me. Except in eternity, I'll ask Him. Wow. Somebody else may be saying, well, I can't commit because I'm enjoying a sexual relationship outside of marriage. Is it worth it, Pastor Stephen, to break that relationship in my life for the sake of Jesus? I want to ask you something. Again, if we have the defibrillator here and there's a dying man laying here, I want to ask you, does the sexual relationship matter more than your life? I think the question's easy. I'd rather live than have any relationship. I'd rather live than have any thing hold me back. So don't allow a relationship to keep you from Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I'm already ahead of where I normally am. I don't know how that happened. You might say, well, he needs to leave his contacts every week. Listen here. This is what I want to do right here. This is huge. This is huge right here. This is probably better than anything else that's transpired, the whole thing. I know it is. If you're standing here today and you would say, I want to follow Jesus for the first time, to really follow Jesus. Really follow Jesus. Now this is our part now. This is our action step right here. This is our action step. If you want to follow Jesus for the first time, this is different. I want you to get one of those Get Connected cards. And I want you to write your name on there. And I want you to put a big old F on it for follow. Now, I want us just to bow our heads for just a moment, because I don't want you to be in any way encumbered about from not doing this. If you want to follow Jesus for the first time in this room, I want you to get one of those Get Connected cards. I want you to pick it up. Find a pencil or a pen somewhere. If you have to ask somebody next to you to get one, I want you to take the time to do that and put a big F on there and say, I want to follow Jesus. Put your name and follow. Follow with a big F. Just a big F. Follow. Now, if you're here today, you're a Christian, and you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized for maybe you as a child, and it didn't have its same meaning as it does right now. Your understanding is different, and you feel like or you really know you didn't. You went years. You just wasn't living for the Lord at all, and you really came to salvation. Even though you might have been baptized younger. I've had people tell me that before I got baptized younger, but I didn't fully. It wasn't what I understand about salvation now. Or it's you've been saved and you just have not done that. You just hadn't been baptized. It might have been years ago, but you've never been baptized. Whatever it is, as a Christian, in your need for baptism today, based upon the Bible, what it says, I want you to get one of those Get Connected cards, put your name on it, and put a big old B on it. So we got two instructions. One's got an F on it, I want to follow Jesus. The other is a B, I need to be baptized. On February 11th, we're going to have a baptism. On February 11th at 6:30 p.m., that's one of the first opportunities we'll have from this day. So I want you to see that. Okay? A B for baptism, your name. F, follow. I want to follow the Lord. This is for the first time, I want to follow Him. I want to follow Him. Okay? So those two things, I want us to do that. So as you're doing that, I don't want you to lose track of that. Would you fix your mind around that right now? Fix your mind around that. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to follow through right now. Take an action step. It's more than just hearing this message today. Hearing the message alone is not going to be the deal. It's not going to make the difference. But it's going to be the follow through. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help somebody to linger here to make sure they write this down in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.